Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together in this place. Please take a moment. I know we're few in number, but just greet, say hi to everybody, let everyone know you're here. Amen. Also, just want to take the time to share with you that our Lenten season will be upon us shortly. We have about a week and a half left until the season of Lent. We will be having the imposition of ashes on Wednesday, the 5th. That will also be the day that we resume our Bible study. We will be meeting during the day, during Wednesday days. That will be at 11 o'clock for those who can make it, but it will be Wednesday at 11 o'clock. We'll be gathering for Bible study and for our Lenten study. So please make note of that, and we'll be getting more information out again as to what we'll be studying for the season of Lent, but that will all begin on Wednesday, March the 5th. We'd invite everyone who can to come and be a part of that, the more the merrier, but that will be on, again, Wednesday the 5th. Other things will be going on here at Alney Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin and to go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Good morning again. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 45, verses 3 to 11, and then 15. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and ruler of over all the land of Egypt. Make haste and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And there I will provide for you. For there are yet 5 years of famine to come, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. So this time, let us again hear God's word for us. "But I say to you that hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. In 1943, just 5 days before Christmas, an American B-17 bomber was flying over Germany after completing a successful bombing run. The pilot was 21-year-old Charles Brown from West Virginia, flying his first combat mission. It was a tough mission, and his plane was pretty badly shot up by a swarm of German fighter planes. His tail gunner was dead, and half of his crew were wounded, but both he and his co-pilot thought that they had pretty much gotten through the worst of it. But suddenly, when Brown and his co-pilot looked out of the cockpit, what they saw greatly alarmed them. Hovering about 3 feet from the tip of their wing was a gray German Messerschmitt fighter plane, locked and loaded and ready to shoot them down. Brown and his co-pilot thought they were goners. They knew that this was going to be the end. But when they looked again, instead of the fighter plane shooting them down, the German pilot, whose name was Franz Stigler, simply nodded to them and escorted them out of German territory. For some reason, the German fighter plane had spared them. Decades later, Charles Brown tracked down the German fighter pilot, Franz Stigler, and they had a wonderful reunion where the two men hugged each other and wept and remembered that fateful day. And the German fighter was asked why he spared the B-17 bomber. And he explained that he was taught by one of his superiors that whenever he saw someone parachuting from a plane, never to gun him down. And when he saw the crippled plane all shot up and could see through the damaged hull, the wounded crew, he considered the whole plane to be a parachute kind of situation. And so he refused to shoot him down and instead decided to escort them out of German territory. What the German pilot exhibited on that fateful day was something quite rare during wartime, and indeed quite rare in our world. What the German fighter exhibited was mercy. Mercy is what Jesus calls us to in our gospel reading this morning, the continuation of the Sermon on the Plain that we looked at last week. We have to admit this morning that we live in a world that is short on mercy, especially when it comes to people we consider to be our enemies, people who have hurt us, people who have acted treacherously towards us in some way. It's quite natural for us, easy for us, desirable even for us to want revenge and retaliation. If I were a fighter pilot and had just witnessed a bomber bombing targets in my country's airspace, I would have not cared one iota about what my superiors had taught me. I would have shot the plane down, whether it was crippled or not. I would have wanted revenge. I would have wanted to retaliate. That's the way of the world. But you and I are called to be something different. We are called to be a different kind of people. You and I are called to be people of mercy, including mercy to our enemies, especially to our enemies. And that's what Jesus says this morning. Love your enemies. Be merciful. The Greek word for mercy is the word eleos, and it suggest a kind of pouring out, and that's what we do. Whenever we show mercy, we pour out our love and our concern for other human beings, even those human beings who have hurt us, even those who have humiliated us in some way. We show them mercy. Many of us are aware that mercy is the opposite of justice. Justice is about getting what we deserve. And many of us are quite preoccupied, quite concerned about justice. We want to see justice done. We want fairness and justice. We want to give people what they deserve. We want what we think we deserve. The preacher and commentator James Howell notes how our consumer culture often appeals to our sense of deserving something. Have you ever noticed many of the commercials? They appeal to our sense of deserving something. You deserve that new luxury car. You deserve a break today. You deserve that luxury vacation in the Bahamas. You work hard. You deserve it. Often when we don't get what we think we deserve, we get angry, we get upset, we start blaming people because we don't get what we think we deserve. But mercy is about receiving something that we know we don't deserve. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever just messed up so bad or found yourself in a situation you didn't know how to get out of it? You know what you deserve. You deserve to languish in that situation. You deserve to be getting what you are getting, and what you're looking for is some mercy. And then someone just shows you mercy. Not because you deserved it, but because it's what you need. Story is told of a mother who once approached the Emperor Napoleon asking for a pardon for her son, and the emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded, the emperor said, that he receive death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother explained. "I plead for mercy. That's what I'm pleading for. That's what I want, mercy." "But your son doesn't deserve mercy," the emperor replied. "But sir," said the mother, "it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask." That's all Jesus is asking for this morning in our gospel reading this morning. He says, "Be merciful. Be merciful, be loving, be forgiving, be people of reconciliation, be merciful, even to your enemies. Be merciful." Let's face it, none of us can be truly merciful on our own. It comes with having the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. But there are certain things that we can say about being merciful. First of all, mercy is about trusting in God. It's trusting that God is active and present in the midst of our lives to bring about God's purposes for ourselves and God's purposes for others. That's what we learn in our Old Testament story this morning, story about Joseph. Joseph was cruelly sold into slavery by his own jealous brothers. And eventually he ends up in Egypt. And from there, things go from bad to worse. He's falsely accused of sexually assaulting his master's wife, and he's thrown in prison to languish and to perish. But because of his ability to interpret dreams, he eventually comes to the attention of Pharaoh. And before it's all over, Joseph is the most powerful man in all of Egypt, save for Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the most powerful nation on earth. And then one day, because of a famine, Joseph looks up and he sees people streaming into Egypt to avail themselves of the grain, and he sees some familiar figures coming to purchase grain or get grain. And Joseph recognizes them. They're his treacherous brothers. Their hair has grown grayer and thinner. They're a little bit more pudgy around the middle, but it's them. He recognizes them. And I'm sure there were moments when he was in prison and he was dreaming of this day. There were moments, I'm sure, when he was dreaming for the opportunity to get even, to get back at them, to do to them what they had done to him. But he doesn't. He doesn't get even. He spares them. And he spares them because he has come to realize that God was working through all of it. That God was working through his brother's meanness. God was working through their treachery, through their jealousy, through their disregard for his life. God was working through all of it to bring about redemption. Not just the redemption of Joseph, but the redemption of his brothers as well. God was working through all of it to save him and them. That's what Joseph tells them later in Genesis. You meant what you did for evil, but God used it for good. And that's true for us as well. God can gather the hurtful and broken places in our lives and bring about good. That doesn't mean that God does bad things through people. It doesn't mean that God wants people to do evil and bad things. It just means that God can even work through our evil. God can even work through the bad things that we do. God can even work through our brokenness and our short-sightedness. God can work through all the ways that we do terrible things to each other. God can work through it all to bring about God's purposes. But what God wants from us is to be merciful. That's what Jesus says, be merciful. But mercy is also about imitation. Jesus says, be merciful because God is merciful. I know all of you are pretty good people, wonderful people even, but none of us are here because we deserve to be here this morning. There's a lot of talk today about merit, a lot of talk about who belongs and who doesn't belong, who's deserving and who's not deserving, but none of us are here this morning because we deserve to be here. We are here because God is a loving God. God is a forgiving God. God is a merciful God. And Jesus says that if you want to be like God, then be merciful. Be loving. Be forgiving. Even to your enemies. I don't know about you, but I've discovered that sometimes the people who are most godlike, the people who are sometimes most Christ-like, are people who don't even claim to be Christians. They're people who don't even claim to follow Christ. I was listening to a podcast recently. Suzanne Barakat, her name. She's a doctor and caregiver in Fresno, California. She loves her work, loves caring for people and healing people. But some of the people she cares for don't always love her, don't always care for her. You see, she's a Muslim. She wears her Muslim headdress to work, and some people let her know that they don't like that. They don't like her. They don't like Muslims. But she smiles and goes about her work, just part of the job. But what wasn't part of her job is what happened to her family in Chapel Hill. Her brother's wife and her younger sister were all brutally murdered by their next door neighbor. A next door neighbor who hated Muslims. And so one day he came to the door, knocked on the door, and he entered with a rifle and he executed them all, killed them all execution style. And at that point, I would have struggled to be like Jesus. I would have struggled to be godlike, to be Christ-like. I would have struggled to love my enemies. Some things are just evil. And yet that situation was an occasion that helped Suzanne Barakat work for reconciliation, to honor her brother and her brother's wife and her younger sister. For her, one of the most important things is to work for a world where people don't hate each other enough to kill each other. Indeed, she said, once we all strip away the layers, those layers that we hang on to, if we all strip away the layers that often come to define our lives, we're all human, we're all just one, we're all brothers and sisters. If we could only understand that. And that's what Joseph says too to his brothers. I'm Joseph, I'm your brother. I'm your brother, despite your treachery, despite what you did to me. We're all one, we're all human. Jesus says that we are called to love our enemies, to be people of reconciliation and forgiveness, to be people of mercy, because that's what God is like. God is merciful. God is loving. God is forgiving. There are two kinds of people in the world, of course. There's the reconcilers. People like all of us, that's what we are called to be about this morning. We're called to be people who are reconciled to each other, reconciled with God, and proclaim the good news of reconciliation in the world. We are people who are called to overcome hatred and enmity by loving each other and loving our neighbors. We are called to be people who forgive in a world that doesn't want to forgive, in a world that is bent on holding on to hatred And enmity, we are called to be people who put our faith and trust in God and are called to love even our neighbors. But you know and I know that there are also people who divide. There are people who love to divide us. There are people who love to appeal to the worst that is in us. There are people who love to see us fighting each other and doing whatever they can to bring us apart and to tear us apart. There are people who know how to appeal to the fault lines that exist among us so that we can exploit each other and do terrible things to each other. There are those people in the world. But the good news is that God can work through even all of that. God can work through the treachery of the world. God can work through all the hurt in the world. God can work through all the things that we do, the terrible things that we do to each other, to bring about God's purposes. And God's purposes is to bring about our reconciliation with each other. God's purposes is to make us all human. God's purposes is to extend our love for each other as God has loved us. God's purposes is to help us to be people who love God and who love each other. That's what Jesus is reminding us of this morning. And isn't that what our world needs right now? Our world doesn't need any more people who beat their chest to say how good we are. The world doesn't necessarily need people who show how righteous they are. Our world doesn't need any more churches. We have plenty of churches almost on every corner. What our world needs right now are people who have the courage to love each other and to be merciful to even our enemies. Think about the healing that could occur if we Christians, those of us who follow Christ, we just do what Jesus tells us to do, to love our enemies, to forgive each other, and to be merciful, because that's who God is. God is a merciful God. And in God's love, in God's mercy, God is bringing about our redemption and the redemption of the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us together to be something different. Not something easy, but to be something different. You have called us to truly be the light of the world. We get hung up on so many things. Even those of us who are your people, we get angry and we get mad. We are jealous of each other. We do terrible things to each other. We hurt each other. but you work through the pieces of our broken lives. You work through all the ways that we hurt each other. You will not let our hatreds and our shortcomings have the last word. The last word is your desire for our healing, your desire for our redemption. And not only our redemption, but the redemption even of our enemies. And so you tell us to be merciful, just as you are merciful. And it's in your merciful name that we pray this morning. Amen.